Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Oratorio Chorus opens their season with a bit of a different type of concert for them as they present To Honor, a concert in honor of American veterans on Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th at 6 and 8 o'clock at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. Featuring members of the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra and singer-songwriter Ian Gill, the chorus will perform patriotic music, popular music that evokes the people and land, as well as American choral composer Randall Thompson's greatest work, A Testament to Freedom, written in the middle of World War II, along with music from John Williams' score to Saving Private Ryan. I'm joined today by Oratorio Chorus Artistic Director Tim Sharp to talk about this concert, the outreach they've done to veterans groups as a part of this concert, as well as an upcoming concert with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra with noted choral contemporary composer Eric Whitaker in January. I spoke with Tim Sharp earlier this week, and since, the 6 p.m. performance has sold out, but good seats remain for the second 8 o'clock performance. Tim Sharp, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich. Good to be with you.
This weekend, the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus is going to do a program that's a little bit outside of the ordinary for the chorus. To Honor is a one-hour program that you'll be doing twice at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. How did this program come about?
Well, we had been looking for ways for the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus to get into our community and to, in a way, give back. And this program hit a cycle in our time of rehearsal, mid-fall, late fall, which is normally where we're presenting a concert. And we saw Veterans Day following on the weekend, and we thought, let's do something to salute our veterans. That led to some collaboration talks with some of the veterans organizations in town, and then it snowballed after that.
So what is different about this particular concert from a normal TOC concert?
Well, the theme of the concert starts off with it's anchored with a wonderful American composer, Randall Thompson, in one of his great larger choral works, The Testament of Freedom. And I built the theme around that. I looked, first of all, for a national statement. Of course, this goes back to the words of Thomas Jefferson. And then I started building on that and got to the local and thought, well, what could we do to celebrate our own heritage in this area? And that led me to Woody Guthrie. So we added Woody Guthrie songs and then some more popular things that we'll talk about in a second. But that theme then led me to, in talking to our collaborators, about how we could extend this program and how we could really get emotional involvement with our audience. And through some great collaborations, we've been able to provide tickets for veterans to come to the concert free of charge. We've identified the veterans that would like to come to the concert. And many people have purchased those tickets for the veterans, and we've been able to get them to them. So not only will we have an audience of people loving this American choral music, but we'll also have some people that will be honoring in the audience and very specifically giving a tribute to what they've done for us and their service.
Now, you'll be performing at the Air and Space Museum, which is a little bit different facility than you're normally used to. I mean, usually you're in a downtown church or at the PAC or a normal concert hall.
Exactly. That also was part of the collaboration. When we were talking to the veterans organizations, we were saying, I asked them, where could we consider performing this to get outside of, really our comfort zone is a performance hall. It's measured, it's acoustically right. It's in a church where many of the great choral works were written. We have acoustic space there that works in a choir loft area and so on. But for this concert, we kind of thought outside of the box, and that led us to this wonderful treasure that we have. It's an Air and Space Museum out by the airport. I went and looked at the space, and I saw basically an airplane hangar, and then started working around that concept of where could we place the choir, where could we place the instrumentalist, and with the help of the staff there, we did conceive a concert location within the room, and we also, with some untraditional kind of seating, we see how we can seat our usual audience numbers within the museum itself.
What's it going to be like singing in basically a hangar?
There are
churches where the acoustics have a long hang time, if you will.
That's right.
But a hangar is a different beast, I would think.
Well, we tested it out in the spring of this year. We had our fundraising event in that space. We actually put a banquet in there to honor our donors to TOC. And so we went in the space and we asked the TU Jazz Ensemble to come and play. And that gave me a chance to hear what it was going to be like. And I'll admit, we're going to be singing full-lunged capacity in the room. Our fortes will be really strong because we will be, we're a 110-voice chorus. plus with the orchestra in there, we're going to be able to put out a good bit of sound. But you're right, the room will eat it all up. But I think what's going to complement it all, though, is the fact that the space does, in a way, interpret some of the theme. You know, when you look up or you look around, you see an F-14 or you see the different kinds of things that are in that museum, they will take us, I think, in many ways into the heart of what we're celebrating there. And so I think it's going to be one of those existential experiences that, as you said at the beginning, is not our usual fare.
So you plan the evening around Randall Thompson's work, The Testament of Freedom. For those who are not familiar with this work, this is like one of the pillars of American choral writing in the 20th century, isn't it?
It is. Thompson was a landmark composer and really a world-class composer. I think he's one of the first great American choral composers that his music made it outside of the boundaries of just choral people, but moved into symphonic halls. Koussevitzky was a champion of Randall Thompson's music. Thompson, of course, was well-known in Harvard and Boston circles, but he also was known throughout Virginia. He set wonderful texts, and these texts are unique because it's prose by Thomas Jefferson. Usually, composers are setting poetry. Here, Thompson has taken the letters of Thomas Jefferson, letters that he wrote to John Adams, documents that he actually wrote about our freedoms, and he set it to music.
So this is the correspondence that was taking place between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson after they'd been bitter political enemies, and they were sort of having a rapprochement, if you will, and sending letters to one another, sort of reflecting on what they had done together as founders.
That's exactly right. It was later in their life, and these letters to reflect on the cost of liberty and the cost of freedom and the hopes that they had that this light that had been kindled on the 4th of July would continue to fight barbarism and despotism, as Jefferson says. These were his hopes later in life. So Thompson recognized this, set these texts, and I think we have a masterwork in this piece. You don't hear it that much anymore. So the piece that you hear of Randall Thompson is a choral piece called Alleluia.
Alleluia, yeah.
And I think that piece is probably known around the world. I've heard it all over the world by choirs. But The Testament of Freedom would be uniquely something that Americans would be drawn to.
And when was it written? Was it written on the eve of World War II, which is what I would suspect?
You're exactly right. It was a World War II era. It was 1944. It was written at a time, you know, a dark time. And so it really calls forth the hope that liberty will prevail and that our freedom would prevail. So in the context of 1944, a little different. But it's always amazing to me on our programming how some of the rhetoric of the current day is not due a piece like this. So I think the current events of our United States in a time of a little bit of unsettling times, this work comes back as reassurance that we're founded on some incredible propositions.
Now, you mentioned this is written to prose, but he turns it into a singing work, or are there spoken sections at all?
It's all sung, but there are some instrumental interludes that evoke sort of military band or orchestra. It does have that sort of Battle Hymn of the Republic feel once in a while in it. It certainly features the brass section and the instrumental and percussion. So you will have that military overtones going on with the piece.
This was originally written for men's chorus, correct?
It was. It was a TTBB poem.
Was it written for like men in the armed services or?
You know, Thompson must have had that in mind, but he wrote it for a men's glee club in Virginia. But I did experience the piece in 1995 at one of the American Choral Directors' national conferences, in which it was sung by all the military choirs and an honor choir of men directors, conductors like myself, who sang with the military choir. And they did it in a War Memorial Auditorium in Washington, D.C. And I remember our conductor of that event, one night after rehearsal, he had buses lined up outside of War Memorial, and he loaded us all on buses, and they drove us over to the Jefferson Memorial. And he really made it a visceral experience for us. So, yeah, men's chorus, military idea in that day was certainly had to be in Thompson's mind. But then he also realized he had a really universal piece on his hands and a piece that's appropriately done in colleges and high schools. It can be done by fine choirs there. So he set it for SATB.
Yeah. So what should we hear from this? Let's hear a little bit of music by Randall Thompson here. This is the original version, by the way, for men's choir.
Very good. Well, this opening is the strong overture with the fanfare beginning and then the chorus coming in singing the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. And one really interesting thing about this from a composition point of view, it starts out with the theme, bum, 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 bum. That idea is basically Thomas Jefferson. And that's why that's what Randall Thompson was thinking for that. And I've never heard of a composer that actually just took the rhythmic idea of the author and incorporated that into the unifying opening theme. So it's interesting from a composition idea.
Well, let's hear a little bit of The Testament of Freedom by Randall Thompson, which will be the centerpiece composition that will be a part of the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus's Concert to Honor, a program to honor America's veterans Saturday night. Here's music by Thompson. That's music by Randall Thompson, the centerpiece for the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus's performance Saturday night. Two performances at 6 and 8 o'clock at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum titled To Honor, a program to honor America's veterans. And there'll be a number of veterans in attendance. And that's been part of the whole outreach program is when people buy a ticket, there's a ticket donated to veterans, and so you're going to have a whole bunch of veterans for this.
We are. We know we have over 100 veterans that are coming, and of course, part of the programming will be at the end of the concert, there will be a salute to the armed forces. We will sing the military song from each of the armed forces branches. We will ask those veterans to stand and sing along with us. And anybody in the audience that has a sibling or a child or a parent that was in that branch, we'll ask them to stand along with us. And we'll honor these folks for, and many times, the sacrifice they've given to the country, certainly their service.
Yeah. Now, you had this piece as sort of the centerpiece. How did you fill out the rest of the program? What was the aim of the program?
The aim of the program was to celebrate, really, our heritage, celebrate even our region. So the other pieces will be by Woody Guthrie. We have This Land Is Your Land, a text that I found that Woody Guthrie popularized called I Don't Need No Man. I have actually taken that piece and created an arrangement for it. It's a fun piece, a very humorous piece by Guthrie. We're going to be singing Don McLean's American Pie. We're going to sing Simon and Garfunkel's America. These are popular pieces, and they really have become, in sort of the American songbook, I think, songs that everyone probably can sing along
with. Now, how's the chorus taking to this material? Because when we think of the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus, we think of them singing Mendelssohn's Elijah or, you know, operatic choruses, right, or big works, you know, in the classical music realm. Are they enjoying this experience?
I think there's two levels in which we enjoy it. We enjoy it recreationally because these are our songs. I mean, these are songs that some of our singers may have grown up singing in cars on vacations with parents or so on. I think there is a love of going back to group singing that perhaps we've eliminated because of some perception that singing belongs to people on The Voice or America's Got Talent, or even the idea that you have to have this fireworks kind of voice to sing the national anthem, which is unfortunately, you know, become the way. But, you know, we're all born with a voice, and we all actually have this instrument in common. So in a way, this concert will also celebrate that singing belongs to everyone. And everyone's going to get a chance to do it with us. So you can't really do that with a band or an orchestra concert. But with a choral concert, once in a while, you can do something to remind people that everyone has that instrument.
And you're also going to feature some music of John Williams from Saving Private Ryan, which is, of course, a very moving score. And
it
features the chorus in a very supportive role not really doing a whole lot, but just creating this incredible mood.
It does. And what we have put that piece into the program is just for a moment of reflection, certainly on those servicemen and women who are not with us, who served. And we will reflect at that point, as Saving Private Ryan does so poignantly in the end of that film, just the idea that this whole celebration came at some sacrifice.
Now, you're also going to be joined by a singer-songwriter, Ian Gill. Tell us about this. How did this come about, and how does this work into the program?
Yeah, Ian is a beautiful singer and a wonderful folk singer and guitarist. I wanted the guitar because it is sort of the folk instrument, you know, of choice. I wanted the guitar to play a role in this, particularly when it came to the Woody Guthrie songs. So Ian is going to lead the This Land Is Your Land, the American Pie, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. He'll do so, and he'll also sing out on the verses himself and invite us in on a couple of the choruses that that will be there. Ian's a graduate of Oklahoma University. He was a very, very talented young man that now works in choral music in Texas, but we're bringing him in to do this program. Some of the charts that we're performing, I actually heard Ian do in another concert, and when I heard him do it, I said, that's the guy I need. So I got to know him and recruited him here for this concert.
And because he's singing with the choir, I assume you had to have special arrangements, and that's a key to making this all work.
It right? is. It's not just pick up the guitar and sing. These are these are orchestrated arrangements. So we will have members of the Tulsa Symphonic Orchestra with us. They'll be playing on everything, but they will also even be playing on these popular tunes.
Yeah. My guest today is Tim Sharp, the artistic director of the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus. They're preparing for their program Saturday night, To Honor, a program to honor American veterans for their service and sacrifice. There'll be two performances at 6 and 8 at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum, sort of a different location for them. They've been doing a lot of outreach with the veterans community. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the outreach to the veterans community? What have you been doing in particular?
Well, it came as a great awakening to me that veterans are so well organized and have such a supportive group of people here in Tulsa. We first went to the Mayor Veteran Advisory Council and found there a very supportive group of dozens of groups that have do services for veterans. The Warrior Partnerships of Eastern Oklahoma, the Claremore Veterans Center, the Vet Ticks Organization. All these organizations exist to support our veterans, and they've engaged with us and collaborated. So they've been the agency that have really gotten the tickets out to the vets that have been provided by those that have donated them. So we are hoping the vets continue to come in wearing their ball caps and wearing whatever they wear to identify with the branch of service. You know, many of us, you don't have to go far to find someone that's really, you know, close to you in the military. My dad was World War II, so I know I'll be thinking of him even as I conduct. I'll be thinking of my dad's service in the Army, and when we sing the caissons go marching and so on, I'll be thinking of my dad on that moment.
Yeah. And that, of course, takes place this Saturday at 6 and 8 o'clock at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. The program's only about an hour, mm-hmm. and it's a very different concert for the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus. But this is also the start of a really busy time for the chorus. You come right back right after Thanksgiving with a holiday performance with the Tulsa Symphony. Of course, you always perform with the symphony, and this year it'll be a little different because you're actually bringing in a living composer. Has to be one of the foremost names in choral music in the 21st century, and that's Eric Whitaker. And you're already working on the music, I understand.
We are, and thanks for mentioning the Home for the Holidays concert. This has become a tradition with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. And just for those that have followed us over the years, we're singing a movement of Bach's Christmas Oratorio and a movement of Vaughan Williams' Hodier. So we're back in the zone in the Christmas concert. But then the one you're referencing in January, this is a great moment for us to bring in one of the hottest, best-known choral living composers of our day, Eric Whitaker. We're going to do a complete program of Eric's music. He's conducting. He will be doing his orchestral works as well as his choral works. So, yes, we've been working on this concert from the beginning of the fall because it's no easy concert. He's written some pretty tough things for us, but he's also written some things that are just extraordinarily beautiful that the choir has fallen in love with already. So we're excited about this season that you're right. We're on the verge of bam, 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 back to back.
Now, you mentioned he'll be conducting the chorus. What's that like being conducted by, you know, the guy that wrote the music right there in front of you.
Well, it's intimidating to a degree because, you know, with dead composers, who's going to argue? I mean, there's some experts out there, but the composer's not there to say, I wrote quarter equals 60. I meant quarter equals 60 or whatever on a metronome marks. But with Eric, the good news is I've worked with Eric personally on many occasions. I now call him a friend. I have his keyboard. He gave me his keyboard that he actually wrote some of these works on.
Wow.
He gave it to me. And when I say me, I mean the American Choral Directors Association.
Which you're the
which I'm the director of. But it's in my office in Oklahoma City. So if anybody ever drops by to say hi, I can show them Eric Whitaker's piano because he indeed wanted us to have it. So it's that kind of rapport that I've had with Eric. That means I feel very comfortable to say, Eric, what did you mean here? Or what is this about? And help me with this if I need it. So I do have his email address, and if I need to ask him that question, I ask him. You know, on the other hand, one thing that conductors know is the ultimate desire that we have is to make sure that the performance is true to the composer's last intentions. So the composer being still living, his intentions are very much in his head. And so we can get to that. And in this day and age with communication being what it is, you can get to the composer. So it's a little bit daunting to say you don't have an excuse. You could ask him if you have any doubts. And then he's coming to hear what you've prepared. But then we turn it over to him at some point. Okay. You know, he comes in on a Wednesday. He starts rehearsing. He'll be with us for 4 days. And he will have plenty of time to nuance it and tweak it and really bring in his own interpretation and everything that he had in mind.
Of course, we probably know him best for these ethereal pieces, right, which sort of have just an otherworldly sound. And they sound incredibly difficult. I don't know if they are incredibly difficult always or not, but the harmonies are incredibly close.
Right.
And it just requires, I'd assume, singers that have this incredible pitch to be able to stay on their correct note. What are the challenges of singing his works?
Well, you're exactly right. He's written it very tight. It's chromatic, and also he uses, if I can say it this way, he uses dissonance almost to create a new language. So the dissonance for Whitaker eventually, if you hear it enough, becomes consonance. So what you have to do is when he writes these close seconds or first inversion chords that we have to sing, and he has the harmony so closely knitted together, you really have to work at your tone, and you also have to work at the balance of the chord to get at what he had in mind. That means sometimes a different technique in singing. It means a different approach to vibrato in the voice. It means...
I always think of his music as really needing a pure sound.
You're exactly right.
No vibrato at all. It's about blending the voice and getting that vibrato within harmonic structure.
That's exactly what you have to do. And so that means to know his music, you really have to know where he's going with it and what his language is in terms of his cadences and what a long line means and what a harmony, what a cadence looks like at the critical moment. So getting into that world is the biggest challenge for a chorus that's preparing three concerts at the same time. That is not the challenge of the Bach Christmas Oratorio, and that's not the challenge of Randall Thompson. So in our rehearsals, to make that stylistic shift and to get into the Eric Whitaker zone is the challenge of preparation.
And people who are not familiar with his work, all they have to do is go to YouTube and look up virtual choir.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us about the virtual choir.
Well, Eric had this vision a few years ago of basically bringing in individual voices in their own private world and to pull those together using technology to see if a choir could be formed virtually by not being together in the same room, but by singing into your own computer and your own camera, and then by following the same tempo and guidelines, he then pulled hundreds of singers together that sang one of his pieces into a choir that only exists on a computer screen with individual voices and individual faces. Now, we all can kind of see that, you know, as I described that, you can probably see that happening, but to actually do it, was the
even with computer technology and being able to stitch it together, it's an incredible feat.
It was an incredible feat, and of course that led to many fascinating interviews that he had, including TED Talks, and these are all available. He has addressed the United Nations. He has addressed a lot of bodies around the world that you would normally think of as musical organizations, because he's captured their attention with this idea of, could you have an ensemble existing in a virtual space? So it was innovative, and he then went on to do a couple more of those, as you can find on YouTube.
Now, of course, we know this sort of ethereal otherworld harmony that's a part of his music, and that's pretty prevalent. But I know there's one piece that's a little different that you're going to be doing. What is that one?
Well, he is usually when you go into a concert, you hear someone say, "Now everyone, turn your cell phones off. You know, put it on silent or put it away." Well, Eric is doing the opposite. He's actually written a piece that has the entire audience able to use their cell phone that contributes to part of the performance. So again, you can see it happening, but to actually have someone accomplish it and then to make music out of it, to take it to that high level, I have to give him credit for being incredibly innovative in his outlook. So we're going to perform this piece of technology and music that Eric has.
Now, does that require the choir to use their cell phones as well?
I haven't seen it yet. Oh. So I don't. I think it does. I think it requires all of us to do it. I don't think it requires the orchestra to do it, but it does. I believe we have to be part of that.
Well, it sounds like a busy time coming up for the chorus. That comes up in January, I believe.
That's right.
And then the Home for the Holidays in December, and this weekend, this Veterans Day concert. And it sounds like you're going to have good attendance already, but you really, really want to make this a reach-out opportunity for the area who may have never gone to an oratorio chorus performance before.
Exactly. And I think, too, the space being such shared space, the Air and Space Museum, it doesn't have any aura to it that says, oh, you're not welcome here. And I hope no concert hall ever has that aura, but certainly, this is a very welcoming space for people. So I hope people will come out of curiosity, but more importantly, really come out because this is a wonderful choral music, some great popular songs. And then one area that we didn't talk about was we also have a body of shape note hymns that are being sung with instrumentation that really form another part of the Americana here, a unique part. We often hear American spirituals perform, but this is shape note music that came from Appalachia that I'm also making a part of this program. Shall We Gather at the River, On Jordan's Stormy Banks, Down to the River to Pray. These came out of the Southern Harmony and Sacred Harp shape note hymnals. So these form another part, another component of this, which I think will be very popular for the audience.
All right. Well, we hope a lot of people come out this Saturday. Tim, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
Tim Sharp is the artistic director of the Tulsa Oratorio Chorus. The chorus opens their season with a program titled To Honor, program to honor American veterans, which takes place Saturday evening, November 11th at 6 and 8 p.m. at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. For information on tickets, visit TulsaChorus.com. By the way, tickets have been sold out for the early 6 o'clock performance, but good seats remain for the 8 o'clock performance. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.